50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
A message from Todd with Reading Online Marketing.
Here's the truth. Your competitors aren't smarter and they aren't better. Their marketing is.
Reading Online Marketing has years of experience and results backed by real data to put you on top. For maximum impact, ask about exclusive KCNR radio and digital marketing packages. Put your business everywhere your customers are.
We are local and can answer all your questions. Call me at 530-378-4060 or visit ReadingOnlineMarketing.com.
Hello, Reading. Join Commune Dance Company for Songs of the Soul, a dance performance on April 18th and 19th at the Shasta College Theater. With a dynamic mix of dance styles and beautiful artistry and storytelling, this dance production reflects on the lived experiences that shape us and expresses gratitude for the things we have overcome. Come support the performing arts in Reading and be inspired by this bold city caliber performance. Get your tickets today at communedancecompany.simpletix.com. Tickets are $20 and kids tickets are available at $12.50. We hope to see you there.
Experience the Shasta Symphony Orchestra Spring Concert, Saturday, April 25th at 3 p.m. at the Shasta College Theater. Tickets are $15 general admission, $10 for seniors and wheelchair accessible, $5 for students with ID. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
The Navy's not what really controls the Strait of Hormuz. It's the rocket launchers. It's the ground forces that are on some islands. I forget, there's like two or three small islands, and then there's Kark Island, which is their main export terminal. But these three islands, if you look at a map of the Strait of Hormuz, where it makes the sharp curve, there are two or three islands. In fact, one of those, or maybe two of those islands, is in a ownership dispute between one of the Gulf states. It may be Qatar or Oman. I don't remember which one. Anyway, one of the Arab states, they claim the islands belong to them. The Iranians claim that those two islands belong to them. They don't need a navy. They can put all sorts of missile launchers. They can put boots on the ground on those islands, and they can just blast away at any ships. So the Navy really is, I don't want to say immaterial, but the Navy is not the Navy is not the foundation by which they keep the strait closed. Remember the pirates down in off Africa, the Somali pirates? They used ships because they were out in open waters. So they needed ships to get out to, you know, do their piracy on the high seas. in the Strait, again, and I'm not saying that Goober number 6614 doesn't understand the geography of the Strait, but it's indicative of not understanding how tight and narrow that gap is. So I would encourage you, again, if you've never looked at it, go to Google Maps. Go to anything. Find an atlas in your house and look up the Strait of Hormuz. And you will see, if you understand the, you know, the distance and all of that, how tight it is and why it's so easily shut down. Not by a Navy. I mean, they could do it by a Navy, but they don't have a Navy to do it with right now. But they still have missile launchers, still have rocket launchers. They can do all sorts of damage from the shore or from those islands. So that's why. And that's why I really wanted to focus on this theory that James Thorne has, that Trump is really realigning the geopolitical order by letting it stay open and basically saying to the Europeans, you want your oil? Well, come and get it. Come and get it. It exposes their hypocrisy. I read the most fascinating story in the New York Times. So let me start with a pop quiz. NATO. I spent a lot of time at NATO when I was the Undersecretary of Homeland Security. In fact, it was, now you got to remember this is 20, 25 years ago. But my time in Brussels was spent not trying to get the Russians as a member of NATO, but at least getting the Russians a seat at the table at NATO. You might think, oh my God, Michael, what are you, a communist? No, it was the Bush administration's position that we could get the Russians to back off a lot of their aggression if we could at least get them to be an active partner in NATO. Not a seat yet, but just, you know, little step by step, get them in. So part of my job with the, and I forget the exact name of the council that I was debating with and negotiating with. I have to go back and look at my resume and figure out what it was. I don't remember it. But regardless, we got several of the NATO partners to agree, but my primary opponent were the British and the French. And no matter how hard I negotiated, no matter what arguments I made, they just would not budge, which I find freaking hilarious 20, 25 years later. Because what are the French and the British doing right now? They're making deals with the Chinese and the Russians because they want their oil. I would so much like to go back in time and sit at that same table at the NATO headquarters and say to the French and the British, you know, well, I can't say it on air, but basically F you. Oh, so now, then you didn't want anything to do with the Russians. I cannot predict history, which is an oxymoron, but I cannot go back and say, had we done that, the war in Ukraine would have never happened. I can't claim that, but it would have been a possibility because the Russians would have at least had a seat at the table and maybe, you know, our representative to NATO, maybe it would have been me, maybe it would have been somebody else, I don't know, could have sat down with the Russians, well, what are you thinking about doing here? Maybe have put it off, but historically, it's over and done. But I happen to know what NATO stands for. I have a NATO baseball cap. I got a NATO hoodie. So NATO, N-A-T-O. What does the A stand for? You know? NATO. North Something Treaty Organization. If you said Atlantic, congratulations. You passed. The editors of the New York Times failed. Last week, the old gray lady, the supposed paper of record, the self-appointed gold standard of American journalism, published a headline calling NATO the North American Treaty Organization. North American. Now look, I freely admit, I have made, over my almost 20 years on radio now, I've made plenty of mistakes on this program and every other program I've ever hosted. And I'll make more mistakes. That's what corrections are for. That's what the text line is for. That's for you guys to point out, oh, you said this wrong, or you left out that word, or you mispronounced that, or you mistakenly used the wrong word. I get it. I totally get it. News organizations, like the New York Times, are human enterprises. I get that. But here's the problem. That wasn't a typo on a slow Tuesday. That was a byline story written by Stephen Erlinger, one of the New York Times' most decorated foreign correspondents. Let me emphasize that again. One of the New York Times' most prize-riddled, decorated foreign correspondents. Decades of experience covering Europe, diplomacy, and NATO itself. This is his beat. This is his hood. This is where he hangs out. And that's precisely why this mistake landed like a grenade. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why it landed like a grenade. Am I making a mountain out of a molehill here? Not at all. Let me explain why. I'll be right back.
Attention, business owners. This is Jason Evans. I spent the last 3.5 decades helping companies create serious business breakthroughs, and I want to help you like never before. I built a serious training program called 3 Ways to Double Sales in 12 Months. We're going to give this to any business owner that calls us at 800-500-8320. Just call with your email address, and we'll email you this phenomenal video training program at our expense, not yours. It's an incredible gift. See if you agree. 3 Ways to Double Sales in 12 months.
Took Jason's training less than a year ago. This year alone, Jason has made my training explode as far as my sales growth by over 250%. I'm expecting on doing close to $5 to $6 million gross this year just off of his training.
Again, call with your email address and we'll give you a program that others have paid dearly to receive. 800-500-8320. 800-500-8320. That's 800-500-8320. 8320, paid for by Power Sales University.
Welcome back to Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. One of the requests that I usually make is if you enjoy the program, but you can't always grab it or listen to it, depending on when your affiliate carries it, download the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. It's very easy to do. Any podcast app can do this. Search for The Situation with Michael Brown. The Situation with Michael Brown. Once you find that, hit the subscribe button. Leave a comment and a five-star review. I only ask that because it really does help with the ranking and the algorithm. And then once you hit subscribe, that will download all 5 days of the weekday program and the weekend program that we do on Saturday that's carried on 350 stations around the country. So subscribe to The Situation with Michael Brown, and that will get you the weekday program and the weekend program. So you get all 6 days of this program. Now back to NATO. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The New York Times, in an article, referred to it as the North American Treaty Organization. And it was an article written by Steve Erlinger, who is I think he's a Pulitzer Prize winner. But he's one of the most awarded foreign correspondents of the New York Times. He spent decades covering Europe, covering diplomacy and NATO itself. And that's why I think it landed like a grenade. Because when you read the actual article, which I did, I read the New York Times all the time. Yes, I suffer for it, so you don't have to. The wrong headline did not feel random. The piece is built around a single heavy-handed premise. And that is, without America, NATO collapses. Full stop. It is so American-centric in the framing that the headline almost reads like an honest accident, a Freudian slip that revealed exactly how the author was thinking about the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, the alliance, the Atlantic idea, a transatlantic partnership, 32 nations bound by a common commitment, got compressed down to an American commitment. And that compression is precisely the flaw in the underlying argument. So the headline was wrong in exactly the way the article itself was wrong. Now, the Times ran a correction. Fine, that's fine. Of course they did. It was interesting, before I tell you about the correction, because when I first read the article, I did what I normally do. I went over to see what people were saying about it on X, which is why I encourage you to follow me on X, at Michael D. Brown. Because I posted something about it, and I said, I find it fascinating that if you understand how an editorial room or a newsroom works, for example, my studio here in Denver is just down the hallway from the newsroom. In fact, during the break, I was just out talking to some of the news people that, you know, sit here during the weekend. We were just talking about some of the news stuff going on. A newsroom, even this small newsroom in Denver, has an editorial process it goes through. They check each other. This is a small newsroom. So there's two news guys out there for the weekend. Now, during the weekday, there's, you know, dozens of them out there. But even during the weekend, before they run with a story, they put it together, and in a newsroom in particular, and television or newspaper, it goes through a whole sifting process. Another reporter might read it on behalf of the reporter who's written the story. An editor looks at it. An editor makes the comments. The editor will, you know, redline it, make changes to the copy, whatever. They go back, they redo it. No headline yet. But it goes through two or three iterations, assuming that, you know, it's not a perfectly written article. And through those iterations, it eventually gets to a headline editor. And the headline editor will read the story, understand what it's about, and write the headline. Even then, after the headline is written, another editor looks at it to make sure that the headline, the story, everything fits, and then it's pushed to print or pushed to publish. Goes through all those iterations. Which is why I think it's so important for you to understand that when I say that the headline is almost as if they didn't really do anything wrong. It wasn't a slow Tuesday. It's because if you read the actual article, the piece is actually built around what they say NATO stands for, the North American Treaty Alliance, the North American Treaty Organization. Because the article was so biased. The Atlantic, a transatlantic partnership, 32 countries bound by a common commitment, got pressed down to an American one. So if that slipped through, what else is slipping through? Corrections are fine. Corrections are honorable when they're prompt and clear. But a correction doesn't answer a very basic question about this story that's now sitting in the back of every reader's mind. If that slipped through, what else is slipping through? That question is devastating for a news organization. But it is especially devastating for one that still sells itself as the mainstream cabal's gold standard. Because trust isn't only lost through bias or ideology or an agenda. Sometimes it's lost through something quieter and more corrosive. Plain institutional slackness, laziness, hollowed out copy desk, editing layers that used to catch exactly this kind of thing that's now stripped away in the name of efficiency. There was a time when a mistake like this was fundamental. It would have been impossible to the New York Times. Multiple sets of experienced eyes would have killed it before it got anywhere near a printing press or a website. Those eyes are gone. And the social media firestorm that I read on X, all trying to justify it, sure, some of it was opportunistic. Partisan actors will always pounce on a mainstream stumble, just like people that don't like me will stumble on any mistake I mistake. But the answer to that isn't to minimize the blunder. The answer is to understand why it handed the critics such an easy, irresistible opening. Prestige does not exempt a newsroom from scrutiny. Prestige ought to heighten the obligation. If the New York Times wants to be held to a higher standard, that's fine. Then be held to it. One incorrect noun. But the problem is, behind that incorrect noun is an institutional failure. A slow, quiet erosion of the editorial culture that actually did at one time make the New York Times at least somewhat trustworthy. Now, not so much, if at all. That ought to worry anybody, if you still care about serious journalism. And if it doesn't worry the people running that newsroom, that probably worries me the most of all. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. 33103 is the text line. Keyword Mike or Michael. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
When people turn to telehealth for weight loss, they're looking for real support. That's why more people are choosing Orderly Meds. Orderly Meds connects you with real doctors and access to proven GLP-1 medications like semaglutide and tirzepatide. No guessing, just a more supportive experience. And all shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging. Do your research, ask questions, then visit orderlymeds.com/radio for an exclusive offer. That's orderlymeds.com/radio. Individual results may vary, not medical advice. Eligibility required. See site for details.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, they got the money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit PlumasBank.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and I Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hey, Chili, why are you so excited?
Yeah, our biggest deal of the year is rocking.
Kelvin, you don't seem as excited. What's up?
I guess all good things have to come to an end. And that cost ends April 30th. So that's kind of tough.
It's okay, Kelvin. We can always help people.
Well, yes, but it's just this at cost program is one good deal. And I love helping people get more out of their money, like the old days.
Kelvin, did they even have AC when you were my age? Sorry about that.
Anyway, here's to hoping we can help as many people as possible before April 30th.
At cost pricing, only from Redding Heating and Air. This month only through April 30th. Visit RedingHeatingAir.com. Old fashioned service. Modern day solutions.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
Northern California outdoor enthusiasts, get ready. The 2026 Redding Sportsman's Expo is presented by Crown Motors, Turner's Outdoorsman, and Elwood Ranch. Join us Saturday and Sunday, April 11th and 12th at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Doors are open to the public 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday. Explore the best in hunting gear, fly fishing tackle, boating, camping, kayaks, mountain bikes, off-road equipment, and more, all under one roof. Meet experts, check out the latest products, and plan your next epic trip with thousands of fellow enthusiasts. You won't want to miss the huge prize giveaways happening all weekend. Tickets are just $8 for adults, $6 for seniors. Kids 12 and under are free, and veterans are free on Sunday. The Redding Sportsman's Expo at the Redding Civic Auditorium, Saturday and Sunday, April 11th and 12th. This is an event you cannot miss. Redding Civic Auditorium, Saturday and Sunday, April 11th and 12th.
It's time to settle up and ride west. Wind River Resort and Casino is proud to bring Wyoming's own Ian Munsick to the Event Center stage. Friday, July 24th. Rising fast and bringing his signature sound. Ian brings the west to the rest. Tickets are just $60 plus fees. But they won't last long, so don't wait. Make it a country night to remember. Call 1-800-280-UWIN to reserve your room and grab your ticket. Dust off those boots. Grab your hat and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
What is happening? State of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world.
Including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Context of Rush Limbaugh saying brownie on your show opener. Well, let me take a moment to tell you about that show open. Hey, Michael, is there any way, can you replay the show open, just that short part of it where we've got the voices? Can you pull, Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll filibuster while Michael tries to pull that up and get it ready to play. There are several names. There is Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Chris Matthews, of course, George W. Bush, and I think there's a fifth name. I'd have to listen to it again. But, yes. Yeah, here we go. Okay, here we go.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Yeah, that first one, tonight, we welcome Michael Brown. That's Keith Olbermann. Remember Crazy Keith when he was on MS Now, or what used to be MSNBC? So the context for Rush is this. I was doing an interview with Neil Cavuto during the Obama administration. And Neil was asking about why Barack Obama had not gone to the southern border, or why he had not sent Joe Biden to the southern border, because we had, of course, the flood of illegal aliens coming across the border. And I don't know, it just came to me, and I said, well, I think it's a great example of the Limbaugh theorem. Rush had this theorem, which is exactly right. I mean, it's true. It is a theorem. I don't think it's a theorem. I think it's actually how it works. Barack Obama was never going to go to the southern border because that would force the cabal itself to follow him there. You think about whenever the president goes anywhere, I've seen this up close and personal. The White House press corps has a traveling entourage. Not the entire White House press corps doesn't go, but they will assign certain people. They'll assign video, print, radio, press, a newspaper, every kind of category you can think of out of the White House press corps is assigned to fly on Air Force One. Now, it rotates and it differs. But then think about, once Air Force One lands, this was always true, that we'd land Air Force One in some tiny little town somewhere. It wouldn't make any difference where it was. Think of the smallest town in the state where you live. If it has an airport that could handle Air Force One, we would land there. Or we might land somewhere on an air base and then take Marine One to that location. What's at the location when you arrive? Well, the local media, they're peeing their pants trying to get there. The state media, and then, of course, the national media. And depending on what the occasion is, you might have international media there, too. So wherever the president goes, you're going to have, wherever he lands, either Air Force One or Marine One, when we got off either one of those, there would be an entire press corps waiting for us. All wanting, hoping to get, you know, like Trump does. Trump leaves to go to the South Lawn, or he'll walk right over to where they're waiting, and he'll take questions. The same is true wherever Marine One or Air Force One lands. There will be an entourage of reporters of all types, state, local, national, international, all hoping to get a question answered by the president. Then wherever the president goes, Bush and I would get in the Beast. We would drive somewhere. Wherever we would be going, obviously the White House advance team had worked it out. When we got to that spot, press corps is there. They're covering whatever the president is there for. You get where this is going? Do you understand? Because if Obama went to the southern border, let's say he lands in Corpus Christi, or he lands in Brownsville, or he lands in El Paso. They're all going to be there. They're going to be there when he takes off from Andrews Air Force or Joint Base Andrews. They're going to be there when he takes off. They're going to be there on the White House lawn, Marine One. They're going to be there at Andrews. Then if he lands at El Paso, they're going to be in El Paso. And then if he gets in the Beast and he goes to a border crossing, they're going to be there at the border crossing. So why do you think that Barack Obama or Joe Biden never went to the southern border? Why do you think Kamala Harris never went to the southern border? Why do you think AOC did go to the southern border? Because the press was there. And so Rush Limbaugh had a theorem. And that theorem was, they're never going to go to the border because they don't want to draw attention to it. So here I am sitting in a studio in Denver talking to Neil Cavuto, and Neil asks me, why will Barack Obama not go to the southern border? And I said, it's the Limbaugh theorem, because Rush says, and I explained what Rush says. And of course, Rush heard it. And Rush just glommed onto it. Did you hear Brownie? Did you hear Brownie? Brownie talked about the Limbaugh theorem. Brownie explained exactly what the Limbaugh theorem is. That is one of five times that Rush Limbaugh mentioned me on his program. And I've got every single, of course I've got all of those in my archives. Every single one of those. And so when I decided to put together an opening, oh, this has been years ago, I picked people that I thought they would recognize the voices. Keith Olbermann, Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, George W. Bush, Chris Matthews, and I've got some others that we interchange occasionally in those. But that's the context in which Limbaugh is saying Brownie. And he did it about five different times on his program. And even the time that he said I did something wrong, I still have that one too. Yeah, because I did. I said something stupid. I know you find this shocking, but I said something really stupid one time. And Rush said, that was really stupid of Brownie to say that. Yeah, so that's the context. It is Easter. It is Easter weekend. So Christians all around the world are going to gather to celebrate the central event of our faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The government of Canada has chosen this moment to send a message to every Christian, every Muslim, every Jewish person in Canada, and this is the message. We decide what your sacred texts mean. And if we don't like what they say, we can prosecute you for reading them. I want to be precise here, because the truth is damning enough without any sort of exaggeration. Canada has introduced Bill C-9, the so-called Combating Hate Act. It passed the House of Commons just last week on March 25. It now sits before the Canadian Senate, which won't even begin studying it until April 14th, the first day when they get back from their Easter recess. Isn't it great how politicians all take off a couple of weeks for Easter? Did you have Good Friday off? No, I didn't either. And we're like, yeah, when I was a kid, I got Good Friday off. But no, we can't do that now. The Combating Hate Act. Here's what this bill actually does. For decades, Canada's criminal code contained a protection, a shield, if you will. In Section 319, and in plain cowboy English, it said this: you cannot be convicted of hate speech if, in good faith, you expressed an opinion on a religious subject or an opinion based on a religious text. That protection, according to Canadian law, was called the Good Faith Religious Defense. And much to my surprise, Bill C-9 strips that out of the law entirely. Now, the Canadian government is going to tell you something else. What, me worry? Yeah, I worry. Happy Easter, everybody. Let me take a break now, and I'll come back, and I'll tell you what the crazy Canadians are doing on Easter weekend. I'll be right back.
If you don't care about saving 50% off your wireless bill for the same 5G coverage the big guys are charging a fortune for, maybe you care about keeping jobs in America. PureTalk does. They've pledged to run their entire operation from this country, including all their customer service. Or maybe you care about our nation's veterans. PureTalk does. They've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to America's Warrior Partnership, a fantastic organization working hard to prevent veteran suicide. Or maybe you care about closing America's skills gap. PureTalk does. They're a proud supporter of MicroWorks. They're helping my foundation train the next generation of skilled workers. Don't get me wrong. Saving money's great, and you'll save plenty with PureTalk. But if you want to be in business with people who share your values, dial pound 250. Say micro and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Now, for someone that needs to move quickly or something like a job transfer, well, what steps can you take to make sure that their home gets sold fast and for the most money?
Sean, that is an excellent question. We actually have three ways that we'll approach that. One is we actually as an office have what's called an instant offer. So if you need it sold fast, we can do it really fast. But the truth is if you want to maximize your selling price and get done quickly, then it actually means that you're going to want to sit down, identify a marketing plan, talk about what to do to prep your home for sale, and then be really clear on two things, your time frame and the price. Because those two things merging together is ultimately going to equal your outcome. So having that kind of conversation in advance will go a long ways.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Go online to ReddingHomes.com or just Google Josh Barker.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope, but that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, this is Carrie Grell. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
Get ready. It's time for the free all-ages Reading Rancheria Earth Day Fair. Friday, April 24th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. outside in front of the Wind River Resort and Casino. It's a day full of local vendors, artisans, fun food, and activities. Over 50 vendors will be there sharing crafts, wisdom, and fun. So come on down and learn how to tread softly on our earth, all while enjoying the sunshine and outdoors at this free all-ages event. Join the festivities as we make the planet sparkle with fun. The Reading Rancheria Earth Day Fair. For info, contact Dara Hart at 530-242-4559.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Oliva Melano Maduro. From the verdant fields of Jalapa, Nicaragua, comes an epic 95-rated cigar, wrapped in a Maduro leaf from San Andres. Expect notes of espresso, anise, and walnut liqueur. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hey, welcome back to Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. Text line is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So whether your affiliate carries the program live or delayed or however, or you're listening on the podcast, you can still send me a text message. The number is 33103, 33103, keyword Mike or Michael. So back to Canada. Crazy Canadians. Section 319. Canada's Bill C-9, Combating Hate Act. There used to be a protection in it that you could not be convicted of hate speech if in good faith you expressed an opinion about a religious subject or an opinion based on a religious text. That protection, the Canadians call the good faith religious defense. This bill gets rid of that. Now, the Canadian government can tell you, oh, don't worry, we added a for greater certainty clause. And this new clause says you can still speak about religious matters as long as you don't willfully promote hatred. Now, gang, I'm a lawyer, and I'm here to tell you exactly what that argument is worth. Nothing. And here's why. The moment you take away a good faith religious exemption, and instead you substitute the government's judgment about what constitutes willful promotion of hatred, You've just given the prosecutors the authority to drag your butt into court for reading, I don't know, St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. The question is no longer whether you were acting in good faith. The question is whether a government prosecutor that's empowered by this vague and elastic definition of hate decides that your Bible passage crossed the line that they don't like. And I think I know exactly how the Canadian government might view those passages, because the chair of their Justice Committee, the man overseeing this legislation, he's testified under oath that he believes there is a, quote, clear hatred in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, in the book of Romans. He says he doesn't understand how the concept of good faith could apply to passages out of those books of the Bible. So he suggested that prosecutors should have the discretion to bring criminal hate charges for quoting any of them. I let that sink in for a minute. A government official, under oath, has declared that St. Paul, the author of what might be the most influential letter in the history of Western civilization, is a hate criminal? Who opposed the bill? You think just a bunch of right-wing evangelists, a bunch of right-wing Christians? Nope. The opposition included a coalition letter that was signed by 56 organizations. Jewish groups, Palestinian groups, Muslim groups, yes, Christian groups. Over 300 organizations in total. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association, legal scholars, and the House of Commons, not just conservatives, but the National Defense Party and the Green Party, all voted no. The liberals rammed it through anyway. With the help from the Bloc Quebec, a Quebec nationalist party whose secular post-Catholic worldview has for years been at war with public religious expression. The deal is simple. Bloc gets the religious exemption killed. Liberals get their bill passed. It's all political horse trading, with the Bible being the currency for the horse trading. One more simple fact. Canada has seen more than 123 Christian churches burned or vandalized in recent years. Now, the previous Liberal Prime Minister called those church burnings, and I'm quoting directly, understandable. The arsons continue, and they're still going on. So, on this Easter weekend, here's where we stand. The Canadian Senate takes up the bill the day after Easter. Now, if the Senate fails to restore the religious exemption, Canada becomes a country where a government prosecutor could haul a pastor into court for preaching from his pulpit, particularly if you cite Deuteronomy, Leviticus, or St. Paul, and the pastor's only defense is going to be trying to convince the government that I really wasn't trying to promote hatred. Now, I don't think that's a theoretical risk. That is precisely the legal architecture that this bill constructs. You know, the article about this story quotes St. Paul himself from his epistle to the Romans, the very passages that the Canadian government finds so threatening. Paul wrote, "The good which I will, I do not, but the evil which I will not, that I do." That's a meditation. It's a meditation about the war that goes on within the human heart. The gap between our intentions and our actions. Between what we aspire to and what we actually do. I don't know. Who am I to tell the Canadian Parliament how to act? But maybe the Canadian Parliament ought to reflect on that just a little more carefully before they set out to combat hatred. And what they've built is a machine for persecuting faith. So I wanted to end the program on Happy Easter. To the Canadians, I'd say Happy Easter, Canada. Your Senate might be your last hope. You better use it. And then, as long as we're talking about the Canadians, let's go to the Brits. Because in case you missed it, King Charles will make an official visit to the United States this month, April 27th through the 30th, I think, at the invitation of President Trump. Now, during his visit, the king, they held the No King's Rally too early, didn't they? You think there'll be any No King's Rallies in D.C. while King Charles is here? He's going to make a formal address to a joint session of Congress. I find this kind of ironic, if not dumbheaded. Why is a monarch being allowed to take up Congress's time, particularly with everything we've got going on in this country, during the 250th year of our liberation from that very monarchy? Why is that pathetic man, King Charles, who's presiding over the intentional Islamification of a once great nation, being awarded such a great honor from the United States? And I point that out because on the latter question about why is it being allowed, King Charles announced this week, Easter week, that he will end the long-standing tradition and not issue a formal Easter message to the Brits. I assume to avoid pissing off the Muslims that he now holds so dear. He made that clear in February when he had no issue with wishing Britain's Islamic population a blessed and peaceful Ramadan. But where's the, you know, glorious Easter? The Queen? The Queen understood that her sage, I think it's why she held on so long. This exceedingly mediocre man is supposed to be the head of the Church of England. I find it stunning. Really a clear signal that he is all in on continuing his country's fall from among the great civilizations of Western civilization. The invitation to the state visit and the speech to Congress is even more confounding when you consider the current frayed state of U.S. and Brit relations, which have never been so fraught in modern times. Simply put that so-called special relationship between the two nations is no longer not very special. They're steaming through their own Marxist revolution, led by the feckless but hard-fisted Keir Starmer and his cartoonish toady Ed Miliband. Yet Trump will greet both of them, and no Easter message. Happy Easter, everybody. I'll see you next weekend.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.